And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg and Mark Mulcahy.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
Thank you for all the questions and comments that we've received. Janice from Orange County, California asks, "Hi, Helga and Mark." Hi, Janice. "There are many farmers markets around my county. Many of the produce at the farmers market claim to be organic, but I am skeptical, especially for fruit like berries, cherries, grapes, and stone fruit. How do I know they're really local and organic? Thanks." Thank you, Janice from Orange County, California. Great question. Mark, it's all about relationships, isn't it?
Well, yes. Yes, it absolutely is. And that's one of the benefits of shopping the farmer's market, because you get to know the people who are growing your food. Yeah.
Yes. And we always say that there is, of course, organic certification, which is taking the place of not knowing your farmer or all the farmers that you buy from at a farmer's market or everywhere else you shop for food. So instead of that, or as a mediator between knowing every single farmer and food producer that you buy from so well that you just know what they do at their farm, there's the organic label. And every farmer's market vendor in this case, for example, has to display their organic certification, their organic certificate. It's a requirement to display that at the booth. So if you shop at a farmer's market and you're not certain because you don't know the vendor that well, just ask for the organic certificate. There's also a possibility that that vendor is not certified organic but registered as an organic business, which means less than $5,000 in total sales. So if you see a little citrus stand, for example, that just has some lemons for a couple months of the year when they're in season, or other products, apples, for example, it's possible that they will say, "We are not certified organic, but we are registered as organic." And again, that registration certificate should be at the booth. You can also ask for the name of the certifying agency and then check the farm name on the website of that certifying agency, which is more work on your end. But for example, many, if not absolutely most farms, I believe 80% of all certified organic operations here in the state of California, for example, are certified by California Certified Organic Farmers, CCOF.org. And there's a searchable search engine, searchable database, where you can put in that farm name and see if they're certified, if they didn't bring their certificate to the market. And, lastly, local. Janice was asking about local and organic. Ask where the farm is located, because yes, not everything at farmers markets is local by our definition, but whatever definition we want to put on it, or organic or either.
Yes. And a couple other things for your that might help is you can. There's a new website out called Local Dirt, and as growers sign up for that, you will be able to go right to that website and find out whether they're organic, what kind of type of products they have, what type of products they have at the farmer's market, actually read a profile on the farmer. So that might be something that you can look into. And then another thing is that at the Berkeley Farmer's Market, farmers actually have to post all their how they grow the products that they sell, whether they're organic or not. So you can maybe reach out to some of the farmers markets that you attend and see if they'd be willing to have the farmers start posting their growing methods, which would give you a little bit better idea on if you want to support that farmer or not too.
Great idea. Yeah, that's the other alternative. If you don't want to inquire with that specific vendor, or if you don't get anywhere with that, you can always ask the farmers market manager, because it's ultimately the responsibility of the market to have everything in order and make you happy. And Local Dirt, great suggestion, Mark. We had Local Dirt, Heather Hillerin, the founder of Local Dirt here on the show a few weeks ago. So that's a great website, localdirt.com, a national local database of food, farmers markets, farms, and many other resources. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
Thanks again for that question. Jen is from Orange County, California. And we are excited about our guests today, three people who are knee-deep, literally, in changing the way our children eat at school. It's about healthy lunches. It's about Project Lunch when we come back right after the break. But I think I could love her. Crimson and clover. And we're back here to an organic conversation as part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy, the Green Morning, every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we already heard from Mark, and today we are talking about healthy school lunches. Our guest today, here in the studio with us, Miguel Villarreal, Food Service Director of the Novato Unified School District in California, Novato, north of the Golden Gate Bridge, and also currently Public Policy and Legislative Chair for the California School Nutrition Association. Miguel, welcome back.
Yes, thank you, Helga and Mark. Appreciate it.
We had you on the show before a long while, and then 2 weeks ago chiming in on topics around school lunches. And I want to start today with, what did you eat in school when you were a kid?
Excellent question. I can remember as far back as when I was in grade school, but I want to zero in on when I was in high school. When I was in high school, our meals at that time were like you would envision a TV dinner with the Saran. The foil on it. So we had no idea what was in the package. It was like literally the mystery meat and mystery meal every day.
Mystery meat is out there too.
Correct. Yeah, mystery meat, mystery meal. But that was the meal we ate all through high school. I was at an event as a food service director 10 years after being out of high school, and I was sharing that story with a group of other food service directors, and the food service director from that school district where I went to school was in the audience. I had no idea.
Oops.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, so what?
Yeah. But it was the system that was in place at the time, mm-hmm. They were looking at efficiencies and trying to save money and so forth. And then that trend, as you know, continued through the 80s and through the 90s. And we started really not paying attention to our food system and where our food was coming for our kids. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what we've done to change it.
Yeah, we came almost to a dead end, and we are changing that to not make it a dead end. Mark, how about you?
Well,
you even remember?
I do. I went to parochial school, and we had to bring our lunch every day. But on Thursdays was hot dog day. And so that was the only day that we could buy any type of product from the school.
Right.
And it was hot dogs and chips and homemade cupcakes from the moms who brought us from all of our moms.
Sweet.
And so, and for 35 cents, you'd get a hot dog, a milk, a bag of chips, and get to pick out any cupcake on the tray. That was a school lunch program.
Would that be still allowed, Miguel, if things were prepared at home and then brought to school and sold there?
Well, some of that is going on, but it's not really allowed. And so we try to encourage parents that for food safety purposes.
Yeah.
But in terms of being part of the food service program, that's not happening. You see it through big sales and so forth.
Yeah. Well, this was a couple of years ago.
Of course, yeah.
Which is what it used to be. Many years ago, before the food service program was enacted in 1946, It was really groups of parents that were volunteering and trying to help out to mm-hmm. to feed the population at large.
That's how it was in Germany when I grew up. We had a couple of days of the week. You would usually bring your lunch, but I always remember Fridays was soup day. And so parents would bring, you know, 2-3 different kinds of soups, and we would just eat soup, and it was delicious. Germans eat soup.
Wow.
Very simple. And then you got milk with that, which is kind of soup and milk, didn't really...
But something that you would really, now you're sitting there and you kind of turned your head to the side and you were remembering that soup day.
So I can see you better.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, where I was going with that is there's a fond memory to that.
Absolutely.
Soup day.
I remember the scent of the soup right now. Mm-hmm. Like it's that, you mm-hmm. know, when you do that for 4, 5, 6 years and in such a vulnerable stage that children are in, that we were in when we were young, it's food has a huge impact, and of course, we want to talk about that specifically. Miguel, outline the scenario of what you are dealing with every day in your school district, which has just been praised as a model here in the state for the nation.
Yes, so, we were fortunate enough to have two USDA representatives, Audrey Rowe and Alan Ng. Audrey from Washington, D.C. was been appointed by the Obama administration, and so Alan, our local administrator for USDA.
They came last week and visited your program. And what's your school district like?
The district's made up of about 7,500 students, and we serve about 4,500 students every day. And so what they wanted to see was our farm-to-school program and what we were doing to bring in locally, in this case, organic-grown produce into the schools. They've heard about our program and wanted to see it firsthand. And what I wanted to show them was that it wasn't just about food. It was everybody else that we were partnering with. So we brought in, for example, Marin Organic, who we're buying our produce from. We had several organizations, Teens Turning Green. We had the Novato Live Well Network, Nutrition Wellness Program, Dominican University. So these were some of the groups that were in that room that day hosting and talking to our guests about what we were doing to not only, again, bringing the food into, but what are we doing once the food arrives? Now, we as a cafeteria, the food service people, are producing the food. But then what are we doing to educate the students? So what's going on in the classroom? How are parents being involved? And how is the community being involved?
Miguel Villarreal, Food Service Director at the Novato Unified School District, which is north of San Francisco. And for our listeners listening in from other parts of the country, what you're saying, Miguel, is that it's your effort and it's your leadership, and yet the group of supporters and players that make it possible is much, much, much larger and extends into the nonprofit world, the school board,
the
farmers, the city. How many people or how many organizations or entities or institutions are involved to address, you said 4,500 lunches every day?
Correct. So typically we're working with about 8 what we call partners that we work with on a daily basis. And then there's just hundreds of stakeholders. And so
that's what it takes, right?
It takes hundreds of stakeholders. And of course, this is our 8th year. This is actually, I'm entering my 9th year here in Marin County as a food service director. And it's taken us that long to really build the base and to get to where we are. We still have a ways to go in terms of what we want to see in terms of our platinum standard for our meals. But we've come a long way, and maybe we'll get a little chance to talk about that.
So when I was listening to your answer, Miguel, two things came to mind. Was one, you said that you're preparing the foods for the students. Now, wasn't there a time, or isn't there a time still in the United States where a lot of this food is just brought in from like an outside vendor or something like that, and a can opened or something like that? Would that be a normal scenario that we'd be looking at in comparison to what you're doing? Or
how was it 8 years ago when you started to change this?
Okay. Well, in our operation, we've always prepared the food.
Oh, okay.
But the food, if you will, came in different packages. So, okay. For example, 8 years ago, there was a lot of frozen food coming in the back door to the freezer. Today, we have a lot of fresh food coming in the back door.
Big difference.
So, big difference. So for, as an example, even 8 years ago, canned food, I'll give you one good example. Dollar-wise, we were spending on the average, or they were, whoever was in charge at the time, was spending about $300 a week on fresh produce. Today, we spend a little over $2,500 a week on fresh produce.
For 45,000 students?
For 4,500.
4,500, okay.
Same number of students.
Yeah.
So you can see, so what they were... what they were doing is serving them, whether it was frozen or canned, or where my philosophy is that if I can get a fresh fruit, a whole fruit, and organic at that, that's where I'm gonna try to do first.
What's the standard in the U.S.? Like, what is if people have been out of school and don't have kids in school and don't experience this every day? What's the average standard meal or way of feeding our children at school today?
Well, there has been some improvements in over the last 10 years. So, in terms of trying to provide kids, making sure that they're getting, first of all of their nutrients. So they've got to get a certain amount of protein. They got to get their carbohydrates. They've got to get, and we have regulations with the USDA in terms of fat levels, like, no more than 30% fat, no more than 10% fat, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, iron. So those are the standards. And then what happens, as you well know, I mean, everything's fortified. So even a frozen food item
fortified
and can meet those standards. So again, for a food service director like myself, okay, how can I, if I'm trying to reduce the amount of quote unquote processed food, highly processed food. Mm-hmm. All food to some degree is processed, sure. Except for whole fruit, fresh fruit. But, if I'm trying to reduce highly processed foods, what am I going to replace it with?
Mm-hmm. Right, and how can you guarantee that what you replace it with meets those minimal criteria for foods, right?
Absolutely.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us in the studio, Miguel Villarreal, the food service director at the Novato Unified School District, and also the public policy and legislative chair for the California School Nutrition Association. So Miguel, 8 years ago, you started with a lot of ambition and passion for this. Let's actually look at that. What is your driver every day? Like, why is this so critical to you?
Well, because it's who I am. I mean, from a very young age, in terms of nutrition and what we eat. So we were given our story. I was giving you the worst scenario, but I remember growing up. Eating healthy foods, even though, we didn't have a lot of money, but there was always healthy food available to us. So it's always been important for me. So as an adult and in the position that I'm in, it's important for me to make sure that I'm able to feed people's children in our schools the way I like to feed my children in my own home. Mm. And so ultimately, that's what I try to do is if you have your children come into my school, that they're gonna get a meal similar to what I would expect you to serve your children at home.
And Helge, this brings back for me is two things. Is one, I was recently talking to somebody and I was saying, "What's your favorite childhood meal?" And they said, "Cheese fries from Walmart." And I thought, and then I just remember what you were just talking about with your soup memory. And so these meals that many of us never see, where it's not even on our radar screen because kids are just going to school, are actually having a pretty definitive impact on the rest of their lives and how they eat, because how many meals a day in a school year is what they're eating. So if you think of it that way, not just the daily nutrition they're getting right now that you're trying to provide, but how it's going to impact them in their food choices for the rest of their lives.
Of course, it's the care and it's the love you put into the meal and how you prepare it and the honor of offering food.
Absolutely. And of course, I happen to be in school, so that's where I'm trying to make a difference. Mm-hmm. But that's why we're also involving parents. because we want parents to understand that the meals that we're preparing in schools, that, you know, that we want them to also, you know, duplicate that at home. And so there's a lot of connection there with the home and the school.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear in detail how you are able to do that, in part through the partnership with Marin Organic, a nonprofit dedicated to the economic viability of sustainable agriculture, who is using an often untapped resource, gleanable food, the harvest after the harvest. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
More of that right after the break.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? It's the new online site for finding, selling, and buying local food. LocalDirt.com features local farms, their stores, photos, and lists everything local farmers grow and produce. Find local products in your area, in your region, or anywhere in the U.S. Want to find a farmer's market or get together with your friends and start a buying club? Local Dirt does all that at no charge. Go local with Local Dirt. Find out more at LocalDirt.com.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
For the ultimate West Marin experience, visit Toby's Feed Barn in Point Reyes Station, home of the Point Reyes Farmers Market every Saturday. Toby's Feed Barn features organic produce, native plants, gifts, books, an organic coffee bar, an art gallery, concerts, even daily yoga classes. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com. Marin Organic, an association of organic food producers in Marin County, California, is helping to create a healthy and sustainable food shed just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. A model for how to feed a region in a way that is economically viable, environmentally sound, socially just, and culturally appropriate. The opportunity to change the world is right on our plates. Be a part of the solution. For more information on Marin Organic and how to support its efforts, visit marinorganic.org.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
Here on Green 960, all part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. And today, here on An Organic Conversation, we are talking about healthy school lunches. Our guest today in the studio with us, Miguel Villarreal, Food Service Director of the Novato Unified School District in Novato, California, north of the Golden Gate Bridge, where he feeds 4,500 lunches every day. And actually, Miguel, that's breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack?
Or correct. How is it? Those three. Mm-hmm.
And the way, over the last 8 years, the way you have been able to improve the lunches, in addition to working hard and a lot of passion, is by integrating local gleanable organic foods from the farms in your area, 20, 30 miles away. And with us talking about that project now on the phone is Scott Davidson, School Lunch and Gleaning Program Manager for Marin Organic. And also the orchestrator of the National Gleaning Day. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Helga.
Great to have you. We heard from Miguel about the need of improving school lunches, of integrating healthy options, and yet the difficult part of having standardized food that meets certain nutritional criteria or requirements and replacing that with healthy local options. Marin Organic has been a long partner. Can you tell us what's the core, what's the heart of the school lunch and gleaning program?
Yeah, fantastic. I think really, you know, at the center of our school lunch work are, you know, partnerships like what we have with Miguel. You know, we work very personably and adaptively with each school that we partner with. And I think Miguel is a prime example because Nevada Unified is the biggest district in the county. He manages 13 different schools and food for all those kids. And perhaps the easiest thing for them to do from a bottom line standpoint is to kind of industrialize or centralize everything. But he's learned with us to really adapt to what resources are available from one day to the next, you know? So, we're now working very closely with Miguel and his staff to let them know what food is available that we're going to donate, that we glean and then donate.
How does that gleanable part work?
The gleanable part from
the fields, like how are you able to stay within the budget and use food?
Yeah, well, every week we glean extra food from the fields of local organic farms, and we do that with the helpful hands of students and volunteer families across the county. So every Monday we have a harvesting party with adult and child volunteers, and then we deliver that food to schools. And by delivering, you know, 20 boxes of lettuce or, you know, 50 pounds of free cantaloupes, we're actually helping schools save some money in their food budget, which they can then redistribute or redirect into buying more local and organic food. So it all starts with our donation of gleaned food to different schools, and that becomes this really incredible sort of lever arm that really helps them afford to source locally and bring more organic foods into their food services.
Scott, this is Mark Mulcahy. Welcome again. How does that work? So how have you organized this to where you know that you're going to go get 20 cases of lettuce somewhere, or you know you're going to go get 10 cases of apples or something, so that, because you have to know that before so that you can tell Miguel,
sure.
so that what's the system in place for our listeners out there?
Yeah, sure. Well, the nature of farming everywhere, really, and backyard gardens included, is that a lot of the food that grows by nature doesn't look like the perfect textbook cucumber. You know, there's some cucumbers that have a funny cook in them or, you know, slight cosmetic blemishes. And a lot of that food doesn't meet the strict aesthetic standards of organic markets. So the farmers will typically leave them in the field and let them become fertility for the next crop. And a better use of that food is really for us to harvest it as food as intended that we can then donate to schools. So, you know, being that we're an association of organic farms in Marin County, we're in constant communication with our farmers and growers. And they tell us when they have something extra that we might be able to harvest next Monday. So it's, you know, I know that we have several farms in the queue next Monday that we're going to glean from. And, you know, usually within a week or a few days, we know exactly what that product will be. And we can then communicate that information to Miguel's staff and school staff across the county so that they can be kind of on the ready to receive that food.
Scott Davidson, Program Manager for Marin Organic, for the School Lunch and Gleaning Program, a national model of how to offset the cost of public and private schools and how to integrate local and organically grown foods into the daily offerings to students. Scott, so with the ear on the soil and looking at everything that's grown, I know it's about up to 20% of what is grown does not meet those strict market requirements that you were mentioning. That is a lot of food. When did this program start and where are you now today?
The program started about 6 or 7 years ago. Marin Organic as an association of farms has been around for much longer than that, but the program really began with the recognition that that there were many crops that were left in the field unharvested, and that began a conversation about why that's the case, and in turn, you know, a conversation with schools around what their needs are, and it really just became a game of connecting those dots. You know, farmers have extra food by nature that doesn't meet their market standards, and schools, the way that the school lunch programs are often designed now these days, they're having a hard time accessing great local food. So the school lunch program began 6 or 7 years ago simply by harvesting extra food for donation to schools and elder homes and community centers around the county. And that really began the process of our weekly rhythm, really, of communicating with schools what's available for purchase and communicating with schools what we're harvesting for free, gleaning from farms that we can then donate to them. And then we started making weekly deliveries, and right now we're delivering every Tuesday and Thursday to about half the schools in Marin. It averages about 10,000 students each week that gain access to local organic food given the work that we do with our program. And it's incredible. You know, each case is unique. You know, we can talk about Nevada Unified. We can also talk about Santa Fe City Schools or Marin Academy. Each school has its own set of circumstances and its own personalities and preferences. And, you know, we just work with what's available and really help them in an individualized way, really help them sort of reach for the stars, reach for their goals in terms of what they want to serve their kids, you know. And the gleaned food really, really in a powerful way, really enables schools to enable them to bring in the freshest, you know, possible food that's certified organic into their food services.
And now you are taking this nationally.
So, yeah, could you tell us about that, Scott? Can you tell us about the National Gleaning Day that's coming up?
Yeah, National Gleaning Day is on Monday, September 20th. It's
Monday.
4 or 5 days away. It's coming up quick. And it's a really big deal. It's really fun. You know, over the years, we've met other folks around the country, around the state, that are doing incredible work in school lunch or local ag. And, you know, one thing that's really unique, I think, about what we're doing at Marin Organic is that we're really leveraging this gleaned food to its fullest potential, and it's working for us. It's really an exciting model. And there are a couple of other examples around the country that are using gleaned food, but no one seems to be quite using it to the fullest like we are. And but there are lots of gleaners across the country that glean from farmers markets or glean from backyard gardens or sometimes farms, and they donate that food often to food pantries or senior centers, sometimes schools. So we just declared National Gleaning Day as Monday, September 20th, and invited everyone in the country to join us. You know, so there are national partners across the country in many states. The list is long. It's too long to really read on the air here. But, you know, there are partners across the country that are now gleaning on Monday, September 20th, specifically to support local school lunches.
And it's far beyond this state of California. You have cities and states all throughout the nation, right? That how many partners do you have? 10?
It's a combination of people who have registered online and conversations we've had on the phone and several emails.
Great.
It's probably something like 20 or 30 that have, you know, committed particular products to particular schools, but the list is much longer than that.
Fantastic. Yeah, the first ever annual National Gleaning Day, founded by Marin Organic, to shed light of that untapped or not optimally used resource of local foods, one of the many, many benefits of local agriculture in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, and there are, you know, if you're curious about examples, there are examples in Kentucky and in Michigan and Virginia. Like, for example, Faith Feeds in Lexington, Kentucky, is going to glean from local farms for donations to an after-school program called Kids Cafe, which helps serve school lunches in their own school. The Benzie County School District in Michigan is going to glean apples from local ranches for her own food services.
Fantastic. Where can people find more information on that? What's the website to go to?
Go to marinorganic.org, and it's actually one of the featured web pages. If you look on the upper right, it's one of the quick links. It's the National Gleaning Day.
marinorganic.org. Thank you so much for that update. Scott Davidson, School Lunch and Gleaning Program Manager at Marin Organic, and also the organizer of the first ever National Gleaning Day an annual event to shed light on the untapped resources of local food and how to integrate that into local cafeterias and local schools, September 20th, this Monday. Thank you, Scott, for joining us here on Organic Conversation today. Great to have you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Miguel, gleaning, wow, 20% of a resource for you, not knowing what's coming in. I know you are going out every week, if you can, and help glean your own food, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I made that commitment. You know, we've been working with Marin Organic now for over 6 years, but in the last 2 years, one of the commitments that I personally have made is to go out and glean for various reasons. I wanted to meet the farmers. I wanted to meet the families that were coming out, and I wanted to help educate the community at large. And I tell you, every Monday that I go out, it is a new experience. We've got some of the best farmers in the entire country. And like you said, probably everybody says that about their region.
Sure.
But we really do have some incredible farmers.
It's always true.
It is.
Yeah. They're just highly educated, and they know the land, and they know how what it does for their bodies.
And so, Miguel, so you go out gleaning on Mondays as part of this program. Now, if I'm listening to this show, I'm thinking, well, I don't really have any agricultural experience, or I haven't really gone out and picked apples or anything like that before, so you probably couldn't use me. Yeah. And so you're talking about having families come out. I mean,
that's right.
Is there experience required to do this?
The experience is life, that you know life. And so you... what we do is you come out there, and we actually, what's nice about this, because it is an educational opportunity. So Scott takes the opportunity to people that have never picked lettuces or pickles or tomatoes or what have you. They do a little in-service with everybody. And so with the families and with the students that have never been out to a farm. And of course, the farmer himself is also doing a little demo as well. So you can see it in their faces. Everybody, a lot of when the families have never been out to a farm, they're just a little bit nervous. But before the end of the, we spend 2 hours out there, and by the end of the 2 hours, I mean they're just moving along. And in my instance for schools, I shared earlier that I spent about $2,500 on local grown produce. The gleaning
each week
in comparison to 300 when you first started years ago. Yeah.
8 years ago, correct. So what I was going to say was that the gleaning, there are weeks that we get close to 25% and 30% of our total produce cost. So that's how much gleaning there is being done out there
for free at no charge.
It's just I can take that money that I saved and spend it on more fresh food.
Right.
Miguel Villarreal, the Novato Unified School District Food Service Director. And that's an incredible resource. And every time you preserve and keep local organic agriculture vital and viable, you will have that resource, right? It's funny right now in fall when you drive through neighborhoods and there are trees full of fruit, and we don't use it in any way. We don't pick it, we don't bake with it, we don't can it. In this case, these are certified organic operations, but even in our own neighborhoods, in our own backyards, it's amazing what goes to quote-unquote waste. How do you deal with that flexibility? I think it's serving 4,500 children every day. I don't know how you have time to be in the studio. I guess you have to.
They're not eating lunch today.
That's right. Sorry, kids.
But how
do you work with not knowing what will come in? I mean, I guess you have a week or so of knowing what's in the field based on the season, but
correct.
2 weeks out, it's almost impossible to know what it will be free, what will be available, you know, what the weather will do.
Okay.
How do you stay that flexible?
Well, first I want to answer your first question. So how do I do it? I've got an incredible staff that allows me to be me. Without their support, I couldn't do what I'm doing. So that's first and foremost. And then secondly, we have to adapt. We have to adapt. It's just the nature of our business. So in terms of the gleaning, like for example, with my purchaser, I'm out there in the fields on Monday. So when I come in Tuesday morning, I say, here's what's coming in Tuesday afternoon. So we've changed our orders. We've adapted with our other produce purchases. We receive produce twice a week. So we buy enough produce to last us a couple of days. We know that the gleaning is going to come in. So we're not wasting anything. Everything's being used. So we've just adapted to the flex. We've been flexible with farmers. I mean, that's what I've learned over the years, that you have to be flexible. I mean, sometimes the food isn't ready the week before. Even the other day when we were gleaning the green beans, we were gleaning, they weren't ready that day, but the farmer says by the end of the week, these green beans will be perfect.
We're hearing from Miguel Villarreal how he has been able and is able to offer much more healthy and nutrient-dense foods to his 4,500 students that eat his food every day at the Nevada Unified School District. And also from Scott Davidson, program manager at Marin Organic for the School Lunch and Gleaning Program, and also the organizer of the National Gleaning Day, an effort on Monday, September 20th, to shed light to the fact of untapped resources, or in this case, foods not optimally used. And all this will kick off the Project Lunch Week. More on that when we come back right after the break. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And you're listening to An Organic Conversation.
Now in my younger days I used to sport a shag. When I went to school I carried my shit in a bag with my apple for my teacher, cause I knew I'd get a kiss. Always got mad when the class was dismissed, but when it was a session I always had a question. I would raise my hand to make a second through my chest and help me with my problem. It was never much, just a trick to smell a shit. I try to sneak a touch.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? LocalDirt.com is the new online marketplace, your site to buy, sell, find, and feature local produce and products. Start a buying club, sign up for a local CSA or box program in your area, or purchase the freshest and healthiest local products your region has to offer directly from the farm, anywhere you live. LocalDirt.com, your place for local food.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you a business or a restaurant looking for the finest organic produce for your employees or customers? Earl's Organic Produce is a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. Earl's has been building relationships with organic growers locally and beyond the Bay Area since 1988. So Earl's offers the ability to choose produce from many growers of all sizes throughout the changing seasons. For the finest organic produce, visit earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful. Made by local Bay Area artists and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
Are you looking for a romantic and unusual location in the Bay Area for your wedding or upcoming anniversary? Toby's Feed Barn offers the perfect venue for your celebration. A rustic barn in the heart of beautiful West Marin, with local organic caterers ready to delight your guests amid bales of hay. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg. And with me in the studio,
Mark Mulcahy,
as my beloved co-host, and Miguel Villarreal, food service director for the Nevada Unified School District. We are talking about healthy school lunches and all the efforts that are going on locally, regional, and nationally. Speaking of nationally, Miguel, the Senate passed the Child Nutrition Bill, the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act, in the beginning of August. It still needs to go through the House. $4.5 billion sounds like a lot of money.
Correct.
By far not enough if we really look at how much, how many pennies will actually go into each child's lunchbox. Mm-hmm. Can you shed light on that? What does $4.5 billion mean?
So $4.5 billion, first of all, it's over 10 years. And then not all of that money is going to food. The president at first proposed $1 billion for the next 10 years, so $1 billion per year. So that just to make it clear for the audience, that $4.5 billion when we're looking at food is so just to give you an image, an apple, if you take an apple in terms of considering that a serving size, what it's going to allow me to do is to provide a fourth of an apple.
Per student.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking a few pennies per lunch, actually.
We're talking about between 3 and 6 cents, 6 cents being a high level per lunch.
And that's a quarter apple
And that's a quarter
more.
Of an apple per day. So we now, if you ask me, are we putting a lot of emphasis on our children in terms of what we're feeding them, in terms of really investing in them long term? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And that comes back to this whole conversation we've been having about the gleaning, 20 or 30%. If you could get that to offset of your food costs, when we're talking about
that's
a quarter
way
of an
more
apple
money
on
saved.
A federal level, right. I mean, that's a huge benefit to school districts.
It is. Definitely.
So it's the and right direction, children. Maybe, from $1 billion up to $4.5, but by far not enough. And children often or always one of the weakest or the most unprotected areas of our society. On the phone with us, a woman who has considered this and has started a great initiative called Teens Turning Green. The founder and executive director with us now on the phone, Judy Shields. Judy, thanks for joining us here on An Organic Conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And we want to talk about the Project Lunch Week next week, but tell us first about your passion and your goal for Teens Turning Green. Why are children so important to you?
I think children are so important to me because they're our future and they're the regeneration of our earth. And I think if we don't really start paying attention to what's going to care for them, then we're harming our species. So we started Teens Turning Green really with the goal of empowering youth to have a voice and to use their voices to support effective change really around eliminating toxic chemicals from lifestyle, schools, and community, and allowing the kids to really be the torchbearers for our generation to pay attention and listen and help heal theirs.
Beautiful. And one of the main focuses of your work right now is Project Lunch, to where you recognize that it Miguel Villarreal said it earlier, it is a community effort. It is a group effort. It cannot be done by one entity or one person. And change is so needed. Tell us about Project Lunch and specifically Project Lunch Week next week.
So Project Lunch came together based on the suggestion of one of our teen campaign members, that we need to really start a focus on the school lunch programs because they were so bad. So in order to do that, we decided that we would assemble everybody that knew anything about food in our community. And I think our community has such abundance of both organic food and farms and amazing people with amazing wisdom, and I'll count you at the top of that list. So what we did is we asked everybody to come to a meeting and see if anybody came. And the first meeting, about 75 people showed up, and we realized that people really did want to collaborate, that people really had a deep-seated interest in feeding our children and nourishing them well. And our goal is really to provide the healthiest, most nutritious, locally sourced, seasonal organic food in the lunchrooms of our schools in this community, and we hope we can create a great model beyond. And I think the magic of all of this is that we are bringing community together and we're coming as a collective. And if there are any challenges, somebody knows how to help navigate them. And if we have to come up with the perfect menu, well, we have some chefs. If we have to figure out how the farmers come into play, we have more inorganic. So I think that everybody comes with such skill and such dedication. And I've really never seen a movement come together like this before. And I have to say that it's, you know, food is the bond.
So, Judy, this is Mark Mulcahy. So what's going to happen next week around this project? Can you break that down a little bit for us?
Yeah, basically next week is kind of launching Project Lunch Week. And each day of next week, we're going to be looking at a different activity and option for that a school could partake in. But I think kind of the biggest goal is that we invite schools to think about what they could change in their schools that week that maybe would have a ripple effect forever. So even if, like, one day they decide they're going to have organic carrots in their lunchroom salad bar instead of conventional carrots. But the way the week is kind of laid out, Monday is National Gleaning Day, which was established and created by Marin Organic. And basically on that day, schools are being invited to go out to local farms to glean. And I don't know if you've already spoken about gleaning, but gleaning is really the end of the harvest. So all of the vegetables that can't go to market stay out in the field. And the day before they tilt the fields over to nutrify them again, people can come out and glean all the, you know, vegetables that are out there. And then all of those vegetables go back to the schools.
Yeah, we had Scott on the show just before you, so perfect. That was great. Thank you for summarizing that again.
Yes. So one of the cool things that happened as a result of the collaborative is that Whole Foods Market, that's one of our beautiful partners, has offered buses as their contribution to helping kids be able to get out into the field so that they can glean.
And one of the kids will be Miguel.
And with the kids, Miguel will be there, and probably, you know, we hope a lot of teachers and principals and curious people that want to really understand what this gleaning thing is. It's getting so much energy around it. It's starting quite a buzz in this community. And then Tuesday, we're helping schools launch their Project Lunch Clubs, which are really collaboratives between food service, students, parents, PTA parents, school leadership to really start to look and assess their lunch program and figure out what they can do better. And then Wednesday with Marin Agricultural Land Trust, students can take trips out to farms and be educated around, you know, what the farms do and how they produce what they produce. And then Thursday is a farmer's market day with Agricultural Institute of Marin so that kids can again go meet the farmers, understand what they're doing. And then Friday is really a celebratory day. And really, every school gets to pick what they want to do. So maybe they'll make a food with some kind of food with the gleaning that they've brought into their schools. Or maybe, like I said before, they'll change one of the ingredients they have in their lunchroom. Or maybe they'll have organic apples as snacks. But we're really trying to encourage schools to think about, be innovative around food. So bring in chefs from the local area that cook with local cuisine, do cooking demos. Get their food service people to teach them how to help prep in the kitchen, because all these food service teams are so understaffed and these kids could learn wonderful skills.
Judy Shields, founder and executive director of Teens Turning Green, and right now also the orchestrator and organizer and founder of Project Lunch, an entire week next week, September 20th, starting with the National Gleaning Day. Founded by Marin Organic, kicking off a week of activity, and that is in Marin County. I know you were just at the White House a few weeks ago. What is your perspective on where things are headed? You had a meeting with White House staff about this topic, and where do you see is the nation going? Is this thing?
I actually wasn't at the White House. I've just been in dialogue back and forth with some of the people that were some of the chefs that actually were working with the White House. But I think what I think we're seeing is that Michelle Obama has taken a very visible, high profile role in advocating for nutritious lunches and nutritious meals and changing the way the food programs are in our country. And I think with that is coming a tremendous amount of cachet. We had the USDA people that were in our community up at Novato High School last week. And I think everybody is sort of taking a lead from Michelle and realizing that things have to change. I think one of the dreams that we've kind of been kicking around, you know, on the Project Lunch Stakeholder Collaborative is, if they're really going to affect change, they have to change the way that the contracts that they're making with all the companies that are feeding the schools, the Tysons and the Foster Farms and the Doles and the companies that are able to sell food at very low costs that is not local and is not really healthy. And what we would love to see the White House just help, you know, push is that commodity dollars get to be spent locally.
Yes.
And that schools could actually buy some of their food with the dollars that are being reimbursed to them by the USDA and support local farmers and local agriculture and, you know, truly
fantastic.
Make a sweeping change.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work, Judy Shields, founder and executive director of Teens Turning Green and Project Lunch Week. Thanks for being on the show, Judy. Great to have you.
Thank you for your work, Helga.
Thank you. You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helga Helga.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us still in the studio is Miguel Villarreal, food service director of the Nevada Unified School District. Miguel, you were at that trip to D.C., and you talked to White House staff.
We were just the only state that met with the White House. We met with the First Lady's staff, and so we had an opportunity to share our story of what was going on here in Nevada, and if anything,
what's the flavor like? What is it?
They're excited about everything that's going on, and certainly their initiatives that they're putting in place. You know, the First Lady has put a face on this movement, and that's what's allowed food stores like myself, who've been working on these initiatives for over
decades.
8 years now. Yeah, just in Marin for 8 years and decades prior to that, but. So we've got a face, and it's the First Lady, and she's put it out there. They've got, for example, the Healthy U.S. School Challenge they're asking all food school districts around the country to sign up for. They've got most recently what they call a recipe for healthy kids, where children are actually going to be developing recipes, and they're doing a contest out of this.
Oh, fun.
So it's all about awareness. And education around healthy food.
Fantastic. It's a grassroots movement that is now being met with federal leadership from many people, and of course specifically through our First Lady, Michelle Obama. Fantastic work. All starting Project Lunch Week next week, September 20th, with the National Gleaning Day. Again, for more information, go to marinorganic.org. And also there's a fundraising event to fund some of these initiatives this Sunday, tomorrow, in Mill Valley, on Sunday, September 19th, tomorrow, 4:30 to 7:30. If you are in the closer Bay Area or like to travel, come on out in Mill Valley. Beautiful to raise the hand for a community in which all children are nourished, engaged, healthy, and thriving. For more information, again, marinorganic.org. Thanks so much for all your work, Miguel.
Helga, thank you. I appreciate you bringing me back to the studio.
And it's, as you said in the beginning, it's more than just feeding food. We are feeding the future, and you are offering an environment in which children can thrive.
That's our goal.
And not just in Marin, but as a model throughout the nation. So thank you. That was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks so much for our guest today. Again, here in the studio, Miguel Villarreal, Nevada Unified School District Food Service Director, also the Public Policy and Legislative Chair for the California School Nutrition Association. On the phone with us, we were joined by Scott Davidson, School Lunch and Gleaning Program Manager at Marin Organic, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the economic viability of sustainable agriculture, and also the founder of the National Gleaning Day on September 20th. Again, for more information, visit marinorganic.org. And Miguel, you have a website too, right?
NUSD.org.
NUSD.org. That's easy.
Pretty, yeah. And so then when you're on that link, all you have to click is on the Food and Nutritional Services Department, because that's the district's website.
N as in North, NUSD.org.
.org.
Great. And lastly, Judy Shields, founder and executive director of Teens Turning Green, and also the orchestrator of the Project Lunch Week, a collaborative effort of over 100 stakeholders in Marin County, north of San Francisco, to change the way we feed our children.
An Organic Conversation is produced by our amazing Jen Lloyd, production assistant, the outstanding Gina Ristani. Underwriting production is provided by The Ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all. And always, also thanks to the team here at Green 960, our very own Fab Four, Corey Cowart, Mark Magnone, Robert Costa, and Ricky Falaire. Also, always thank you to our listeners for being part of the show and for actually listening.
For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous show, as always, visit us at anorganicconversation.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and many other social media services. Always look for An Organic Conversation. We love to hear from you. Please send us your comments to share@anorganicconversation.com. Coming up right here after the hour is Your Supernatural Life with Beth Greer. Fantastic show. Please stay tuned. Have a great weekend, and thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960.